So it's going to be that type of day. And we're delighted that it has been filmed, it's been recorded, it's been live broadcast as well. Because Niall and myself, when we're putting this together, we believe passionately that these stories need to be told. And one of the great things about the people in this room at the moment are that they span that 40-year period from kind of 1977. And, you know, obviously it's an artificial barrier, but The Radiators, that first album, TV Tube Heart, certainly it changed my life, and it always brings me joy and has done for a long time. But we wanted to trace that journey from The Radiators, and obviously Paranoid Visions feature prominently on this panel. And we wanted to also celebrate some of the people behind the scenes who you don't hear about but have made an enormous contribution. And there's certainly, you know, a lot of people today were either in bands that really affected my life, or they were behind the scenes and I didn't even know who they were at the time. But they were laying the foundations for the type of music scene that we do have. So Niall's going to chair this first panel, and it's some of the more recent punk rockers. So Niall McGuirk.
Yeah, thanks. I'm not sure what a chair is supposed to do. So I'll ask a couple of questions and we'll kind of flow from there. I'm just going to start with Aoife because she's close here, and ask Aoife, how you became part of Paranoid Visions.
Originally I was in the Foggy Dew having scoops with Deco, and he heard that I was in a Pixie cover band when I was 14, and he goes, "Oh, she must be able to sing. Do you want to join the band?" And then Peter found out, he's going, "We don't have any room for another one, basically." And in a funny way, like, because there's like tons of people in there land already. But and then I did a recording of Treasure in the Wasteland. I completely shit myself going into the studio, but it worked out really well. And then short time after that, then I joined the band.
And had you been going to gigs, to DIY gigs?
Yeah.
Before?
Yeah.
And did you come into it from going to Paranoid Visions punk gigs, or did you come into going to different gigs first?
Paranoid Visions was probably one of the first punk bands that I actually listened to, and then started going to the gigs, because Peter put me on the guest list. And they were kind of the main bands. It was more about like the look and the attitude that I got sucked in the first place.
Yeah. And just Clodagh then. Clodagh is in a band called Grit at the moment. Do you want to just... I know Clodagh a good while, I suppose, probably over 20 years ago. We were both involved in a thing called the Hope Collective. Do you want to tell any stories about the Hope Collective and how long it took to come to a decision? But anything? No?
I can't really remember.
Okay.
Those days.
We used to meet every week and see what bands were looking to come over, and we talk about whether we could put the effort into putting them on. No?
I guess deciding who'd support took ages, and trying to contact people before email and that. I remember going into, we were asking Strickland DC to play, and so I had to ask Deco. I didn't have his number or his address, so I just went into the Foggy Dew with a 20p, and I was leaving him a note like, "Please call me at this number." But he was there, so I was asking him first.
Okay, You've been involved in doing a lot of stuff though. So you've written a couple of fanzines, and are you writing a fanzine now, still?
I was going to say I was born in 1977, just to put things into context. And it was about 1997 then when I was involved in the Hope Collective. I was putting, helping you guys and doing zines, and then in 2003 joined Aspa Massa, and my punk involvement took a different trajectory then. I moved out of Dublin, I lived for already, so I've been doing a zine called Irish Punk, but I'm on a little bit of a hiatus, I'm waiting to get inspired again to do that. But most of my energy is taken up with Grit, the band.
Okay. And Grit have just released a single.
That's right.
Might as well give it a plug, might as well let people know that they can go off and check it out anyway.
Yeah, on Great Bandcamp or buy it. Yeah, we've released two singles this year, so we're working hard.
So how does somebody living in Clonmel bring out a fanzine. Clonmel, is it?
Close enough, yeah. Close enough.
Bring out a fanzine and get people to read it.
You host it to pertinent people around the country, show up at gigs, leave it at the door, and yeah, you just have to kind of physically give it to them, yeah.
Just ask Peter then, every time I seem to talk to you, Peter, apparently visions of a new record out. Grit released two this year, which is good, which is very good.
Yeah,
two records in 1 year.
Yeah.
if this was a game of poker, you could probably see her two and raise it by.
Well, we've released three LPs and two singles in just under 3 years. We did two albums within a year, and the previous year we did two singles, a 10-inch, and an album.
How do you remember all the songs?
I don't.
See, the thing is, when we put a new album together, we don't we only play two or three songs off that in the set. I mean, as much as we'd like to do a whole lot, you still end up with, you know, you play a gig over in France or somewhere like that, and you'll have Piston and Melanie that they don't know any of the songs. So, you know, you can only pick one or two out of that to do. So it makes it a little bit easier when you're sticking in a new song to actually remember what. Aoife can remember the words. Yeah. Write on the back of write them on the back of Deco's back and start take us the foot back.
Yeah. So Paranoid Visions have all those records in the last couple of years and have a whole lot more records over the last, I don't know, what
36, something like that. Whatever it is, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Which was before you joined the band, of course.
Before she was being born.
The year I was born, Paranoid Visions. Yeah.
Okay. You've played a lot of gigs outside Dublin and outside Ireland.
Yeah.
Would you find them much different outside the country to a Dublin gig?
I think you're more comfortable in your own kind of grounds kind of thing. But it's a bit nerve-wracking doing a bit like big gigs and outside festivals and all that kind of stuff, but it's good to be on your toes.
Like you played Rebellion and I don't know. Certainly over 1,000 people, I don't know how many people did say.
Three
3,000 people. So how did you get over any nerves for that?
You just zone out after about 30 seconds, and then the adrenaline takes over, and you just enjoy yourself. You kind of just see the amount of people out there.
Okay. And for yourselves, Clodagh, for Grit, you've done some gigs outside Ireland as well. How do you get those gigs?
Because we've all been involved in the punk scene like for years and years, been touring and playing since the mid-2000s. A bunch of us that are in Grit were also in a band called Aspamata, and we did like a massive tour in 2005. We toured for 5 months, so made loads of connections then. I guess you can kind of say, you know, it's the same. Yeah, same lads and lassies. Would you give us a gig? I guess. You know, being sound and polite and partying with whatever's appropriate, go to bed early, whatever's needed.
Yeah,
and leave a good reputation.
Because it's, I don't know if the word is ironic, but it's a lot different, you know, being in a band in the kind of the punk or DIY scene, because there's no agents involved, you're just making connections, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of, you're as good as your word, like, yeah.
We have an agent in America.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Yeah. So, do you want to tell us about your agent in America?
Not really, no.
How many times have you been to America?
Three.
All right.
Three. And it's been because we've an agent in America, we get really good gigs. Like the some of the festivals there are just, I mean, they're unbelievable. Not even like they're just, it's just like nothing else that you're experiencing. You know,
it's massive
events,
is it?
We played the Riot Festival in Chicago, which, for want of a better word, is like a genre-specific electric picnic, only twice as big. There's 85,000 people there, and the bands, you know, The Damned and Motorhead and No Doubt and Billy Idol and Rancid. And I mean, geez, it was just unbelievable, really. The fact that it was, that's all the bands on the bill were those kind of bands. It's just incredible to be part of. And it felt like the biggest DIY festival in the world, because everybody who was there backstage and all the crew and everybody else were really, really sound, ordinary sort of people, as if they'd been drafted in for the day, just like on a bigger scale, a gig down in Fibbers, you know.
And what about those gigs in Fibbers? You've done quite a few.
Yeah.
You've a lot of bands coming over. Do you want to just say a bit about those and what's going on with the Dando sessions as well?
Yeah, but the thing with Fibbers is now we used to run an awful lot of gigs in Fibbers because it's a great venue, it's a great PA and great equipment, and it opens late and it holds a lot of people. There's an awful lot of people freeloading in all the time, which really pisses you off when you're paying a band £1,000. It's not the kind of thing I would ever do, you know. No matter how broke I was, I wouldn't bunk into a gig like that. But anyway, they changed policy in there to run all the gigs upstairs for free, which is great. And they give me a budget. They asked me what I put on 12 shows, so I booked 14. Listen, if they said 14, I would have looked for 16. So, you know. So they asked me to put 12 on. We booked 14. And they give me a budget for each show. And I basically bring over a headlining band who I know are really good, because I've seen them before, or because I know them. Like, they're really, really good bands. And give them the entire budget. And then get three support bands who are only too delighted to do it because they know the top band are really good and they know the crowd's going to be good. It's not really costing anyone anything to do it. So they've been really successful so far. We've had a lot of really good bands over. The next one is at the end of the month. We've Steve Ignorant over with Slice of Life, and then we've First Wave coming over as well. I can't remember what. Aoife runs a lot of these ones for me now. Who, come on, Aoife, who's playing in December? I think that's October and November. The December one is a post Christmas, pre New Year show, and I actually haven't got it booked yet.
Okay. And what about for Greg then, Cloud? Have you much stuff coming up then to celebrate this single?
We're going to play at the Rebellion Festival later this month, and if anyone still has any stamina left on Sunday, there's going to be a German band playing in Bows. We'll be at. Just come back from playing a festival in Germany last weekend.
Do you mind if I just ask about some of the venues? Because we're in like this lovely room, it's a nice place. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of other places around Dublin that's getting used, like Peter mentioned. You're doing the stuff with, but you just mentioned the Bowes Bar as well, and is there the Hut?
That's right. The Hut is also sympathetic to.
And why would you use those places? With no difference to what the venue like this. Now I'm not knocking somewhere like this, but just why do you end up in somewhere like Bowes Bar or the Hut? Do you think?
I'm not putting on the gigs, but I guess with Bowes there's a bit of solidarity between like the player-run club and the punks and the kind of left-wing vibe of the fans, and the pints are kind of cheap as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a nice health spot. I think there's just a bunch of people living in that neck of the woods, so it's handy. But again, as you said, with no disrespect to our current place we are. I much prefer when a gig is held in a alternative space. Tenderhooks for me was a bit of like a golden era for punk gigs. Like, it was a shop front that some punks rented and did up and had gigs. But I guess for space like that, there's always like, you're not going to be totally legal, and maybe you can't be do the publicity that you might otherwise for a venue in a bar, but I think it's your own space and your no rules, and that's the ideal for me personally speaking.
I think like tonight, the idea of the whole night of tonight is to kind of go, yeah, you know, was 40 years since that the Radiators released that album, and punk rock kind of kicked off in Dublin. But it's just, you kind of say, still stuff going on, and there's continuity through the years. I know when I started going to gigs, and I've said this a few times, the Ivy Rooms was where I was going to see Paranoid Visions play, and I was terrified. Whatever reason, I kept going back. I don't know why. Well, I'm not, well, I probably do, but there was something about it. There was like an energy, an excitement. Yeah. Do you think that's still around?
I personally feel it's not the same grasp that I used to have. I think, you know, people who had mohawks, and not that, you know, see, punk rock is not about having mohawks, but it was the whole attitude and the style, and, you know, it's dead.
What do you think?
It's getting older.
I was terrified of you. Never
Me?
Mind Deco. I was still
Me?
Terrified of you, yeah.
Know,
and you were the
boring.
Nice one.
Yeah. that's never happened.
I'm just afraid to talk to you, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I think it's... a lot of the people who are still involved and are still going to gigs are now... an awful lot of them are in their second wave of doing it. You know, they're now late 40s or they're 50 or they're older than that, you know. And their kids have now grown up and now they can actually afford to go out again and whatever. And there's also a huge undercurrent of a lot of the younger people coming in. I mean, I've noticed it at the Rebellion Festival in England. There's two age groups. There's sort of 40 plus and, like, you know, 22 down. There's a big gap in the middle of people who are either they're going through what, you know, you and me and everyone else of our age went through in our sort of 30s and early 40s. Either that's what's happening, or it's what I've often termed the rave generation. You know, the rave generation never got guitars and never understood guitar music. So therefore, when they're reaching an older age, they're not rediscovering bands with lots of guitars and lots of shouting. But maybe there's a bit of that, I don't know. But it's very encouraging when you're actually looking at some of the younger bands who are around, because usually they're really, really good. I mean, especially certainly over in the UK and Europe, they're really good bands. It's as if they've taken everything which the American bands do so well, but do so, I don't want to be rude about them, but it's so disposable. There's no depth to what a lot of those American bands are doing. But the European and English bands kind of taking some of their best elements, maybe the melodies and things like that, and marrying it with the more UK or European or UK 82 or hardcore, British hardcore styles, and mixing those two together, you get some really, really good bands. There was some terrific, terrific young bands coming from there.
Okay. I don't know if anyone wants to ask any questions rather than just coming from a pair of tell, but it's very hard to see. But does anyone have anything in particular they'd like to hear the panel talk about?
Don't ask me, I'm sure.
yeah, I did know. Well, I'm just conscious I don't want to, in case someone's down there saying, oh, you should have said that. But what about, do you play some other, do you play in another band as well? Or do you do something as well?
I play an acoustic program with my dad.
Okay.
Danny out of Paranoid Visions and Chris that used to play bass in Paranoid Visions.
Okay.
That's correct.
Chris currently in the Nils.
The Nils, yeah.
And do you just, like, play much around?
Well, we've been rehearsing a good bit, but my dad went on holidays in his camper van. He's 70 years of age, he's in bands all his life, and just started to crack.
And then, Peter, I don't know, I think you've just joined another band as well.
Yeah, I auditioned for the Lee Harveys. So yeah, no, I mean, I've been a big fan of theirs since day one. I think virtually every gig they've done, I've put on. I've released three albums by them. So when the guitarist announced he was moving to America, they just said that they fancy stepping in. They don't do a huge amount of gigs. I'll make sure they don't do a huge amount of gigs, so I'm the one who puts them on. So it won't be anything that clashes with something I'm doing. So yeah, that's a bit of crack. You know?
Yeah, yeah. And Clodagh, when you started putting on gigs way back there, and you had another fanzine at the time, was it? Did you write a fanzine back then, Slanted and Enchanted? Were you involved in that in any way? No?
Yeah. That's kind of a very a very early thing, like a teenage thing, that would be assume of a friend in college.
And when you were, but when you were writing that, in your house in wherever it was you were living in South Dublin, West Dublin, sorry. Were you thinking, oh, come rock, this whole DIY thing is brilliant, I want to get involved in this, or was it just, it's just something that has evolved for you? Like, had you put, like, were you thinking, oh, yeah, this is me, this is my life?
Yeah, no, I kind of don't think in advance or strategically. I think I was just like, whoa, this is blowing my mind, I have to tell everybody. And like, I guess I didn't see a similar voice being expressed, so I went for it, yeah. And back in those days, it seemed that it was sort of a rite of passage that everybody had to do a fanzine at some point.
Yeah?
But yeah, not so much anymore.
Have you ever done a fanzine?
No.
Well, three of us up here have anyway, so you're only about. You can always write one now.
Sure, it's never too late.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, I know we have radiators coming on next, so we just wanted to kind of start things off a little bit by, you know, this is what's going on now. This is only a tip of the iceberg of what's happening now, but really, there's an awful lot of other stuff going on. Do you want to say anything about other things that are happening as well now? Different people, there was gig on Friday.
Yeah, I guess one thing I'd like to mention, the scene that I move in, and I think there's so many punk scenes in Dublin. We have a practice space that's on the go for 10 years, and that's like a massive influence in the number and quality of bands that comes out of my little pocket. That's called the Crash Club Space, and I just like to plug that. It's incredible.
Which is just a group of people got hired a room, and there's all different bands.
Yeah, kind of collectively got together, killed it out, and yeah, paying the rent for 10 years and keeping on the road.
You're doing a lot of stuff, but there's still people like the Lee Harvey's or whatever, the Toner Sessions as well going on.
Yeah, we're involved in, like, I mean, people keep asking me for tickets and keep asking me to get them on the bill. I'm not running it, but I'm involved in the Rebellion Dublin gig, and we've got a gig on the night before in Fibbers with a couple of, with an American band who are playing and a couple of supports, and then on Sunday with the acoustic session with TB Smith, Pete Holliday, Jane Rochelle, and Monica and the Explosion. We should be really good, but I mean, as regards other bands who's out there, I mean, there's some incredible bands around it. I wish that I could manage to keep up with who they all are. I just can't, you know. I just keep trying to keep the eyes open. We're doing I've got four bands that we're doing. It's kind of inspired by Justifer Kicks, in the same way as, you know, the Dando Session is the Daniel and Mark, and the Advanced Records is Advanced Records. But we're doing a series of releases under the guise of No Romance. And what's happening is we've got four bands. Four bands are going to give us four tracks each, and we're going to release a four-track compilation EP of all four bands, and then after that, one after another, we're going to release a three-track EP of each of the bands. All the covers are going to match, sort of like a collection. So the first batch of that, we're doing Audible Joes from Cork, The Turn from Limerick, The Nils from Dublin, and The Gack from Dundalk. So that should be a good start, and I'm hoping on the back of that I'll find loads of bands that I actually don't know, you know, who we can include on that, you know, for volume two. And Touchwood, we're just going to keep rolling these out. It's a kind of mission to give a little bit more space, in the same way as the likes of us and Vicarious Living never got back in 1980 splash.
Yeah.
You couldn't get arrested in that kind of gig, you know?
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks. And again, it's just to kind of say, you know, whatever happened then, but, you know, there's still a lot of stuff going on now as well. Is that it? Yeah? Are we good? No, we're good. That's grand. We've got more people to come now. So the way it's done, I'm not sure if everyone knows or if they've seen. I have it written down here. We're doing kind of four panels. That's the first one complete, the Radiators would be on next, and then, well, Steve and Pete and the Radiators, and then there'll be Giants with a few more people, and then we kind of get into the Promoters then after that, just to kind of give a bit of a spread of what's been going on for the last 40 years. That's kind of weird, but you know what I mean. So we move on to the next panel then. Cheers.